Hello. We want to thank you for joining our Living Messiah family by downloading this podcast. We hope it blesses you and enriches your life. We also want to encourage you, if you can and if your heart is so moved, to support this ministry by going on our website, livingmessiah.com, and donating to help us to put these podcasts in every nation, in every place, so we can bring these messages to change lives, to help people grow in the Word of God. Once again, thank you so much for being part of our family. Shalom.
All right, awesome. Shabbat shalom, everyone. I'm glad all of you are here today. Let me open in prayer, and then we can get right into the study. Father Yehovah, we give you great thanks, Father. We thank you for the Shabbat day. We thank you for a place that we can gather to lift each other up, study your words, to be empowered by your Spirit. And Father, we just ask you to be here and help us to be edified with your words and encouraged. Father, we thank you again. Amen. Well, let me see. First of all, I do want to mention, if your heart's led, those who are online, so glad to have you. I'm so glad that you participate in this. And if your heart leads you to give, you can always go to livingmessiah.com and you'll find a donation button there. Everything is so appreciated. Thank you so much for that. So back to here, we do have a mic. So if you have comments or questions, we just ask, just raise your hand. The mic will find its way to you. Paul's doing that right now. We'll do that right now. But we're just be brief and on point, and let's not get ahead of the text. So one thing that I recognized, I have a whole bunch of notes, and one of the things that, and maybe I'll mention this later on, but I think it's good to mention that with the book of John, what we're studying, it seems to be broken in two halves, so to speak. Half of it talks about, you know, his ministry and judgments, him going into the Tanakh or the Torah and bringing those things out. And then the last half of the book really focuses on almost, in some ways, maybe just one day, but that is the death and his death and resurrection almost. So I'm saying that only because it seems like this first half that we're looking at seems to be very, very weighty to the last half, when we get that far in the book. So keep that in mind. Oh, and the other thing that I noticed, it seems to be, and I will do this hopefully when we get further, I'll find a way to do this, but it seems like John versus the other books, the other Gospels, they're not in any particular order, but John seems like there is somewhat of an order as far as going along with the feast. So maybe we'll kind of point that out as we do this study through however long it takes us, and to see if that proves itself out. Okay? So, I'll read this rule again to refresh. This is the section of Scripture we're at. And remember all the words that we went over in the past. You see them kind of highlighted. We talked about Elohim. We talked about Word. We talked about light and the concrete meanings behind them and why John's continuing to use them. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. He was in the beginning with Elohim. All came to be through him, and without him, not even one came to be. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from Elohim whose name was Yohanan, or John. This one came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but that he might bear witness of the light. He was the true light, which enlightens every man coming into the world. So obviously, we saw like last week, there is a relationship with the Word and Elohim, okay? We did a pretty good job of going over that. But remember, this will continue, that idea. The Word of Elohim is, in a sense, Elohim himself, okay, or God. So, and then last week we did talk about the seed and why I brought in the idea of the seed, because the parable of the sower that is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, okay, it talks about that parable, the parable of the seed, that the seed is the word of Elohim, okay? And it's interesting, some other highlights that you'll find, whether in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, but around that parable in the various books that it is, it talks about this, that this word of Elohim that is the seed, okay? And then it talks about turning, to turn their, if they would turn and their sins be forgiven. So somehow the word and sins being forgiven match up. The word of Elohim, okay, teaches how your sins can be covered up, okay? And ultimately, I think one is the, I think this is found in Mark with that parable. Yahshua, Jesus, he makes this comment, how then shall you understand any of the parables? All right? So all the parables that Messiah uses are referring back to whether they're kingdom idea or whatever, behind any of the parables, it's always coming back to the word of Elohim, okay? And the word of Elohim is that seed. So that's behind all that. So the sower, then, he sows what? The word of Elohim. So if we are to be sowing seed, his words, okay, we have to know what those are. And obviously that's the Torah, and that's the teachings and the instructions that we that are unveiled or maybe seen a lot clearer through Messiah or Yahshua, all right? But they existed already. So, you know, so the ones Messiah doesn't cover, if you want to know about more about the word and the seed of Elohim and what that seed is, you got to go back to the Old Testament and you got to read the law, okay? So, with that, and the other part that's interesting that I think I touched a little bit was this idea about the seed and the word, okay? We saw how that was. And how John, remember, he sent us back to the beginning, all right? So he's reinforcing by going back to the beginning various principles. So this whole idea about the word and the seed being the same, then we must take what Genesis, the law, or the very foundational principles Genesis teaches. And that's is this, that remember the fruit trees that yield seed according to its kind. That's a very important thing. So anytime you're talking about the word of Elohim, the same principles are going to be applied itself. Whose seed is in itself, we get this from the beginning in Genesis as well, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. So we have the word of Elohim is operating the same exact way, okay? So to me, that's what we would get when John's talking about here, especially while he's going back to the beginning of Genesis to bring forth what he wants to share. So again, don't forget the words that we learned. We'll see them pop up all through Scripture here when we go to references in the Old Testament and when we see Messiah referencing them as well. I'll keep you guys in apprised to that. So when we see this word light pop up later on, it's like, oh, remember? And then we'll see if that works out, okay? So there was a man sent from Elohim, a man sent from God whose name was Yohanan, or John, right? And obviously, this is John the Baptist. By chance, anyone know actually kind of maybe what else is being said here? And that has to do with John's name. Anyone remember what John's name, his meaning has? Just raise your hand or just spew it out. John probably knows because that's his name. All right, John? Tell us what your name means in Hebrew and why this is important here.
I don't know why it's important here, but it's grace, isn't it? Yohanan is grace. grace of God?
It does mean that. Chen. So it has this idea of grace. Dave.
I think David is beloved of God, right?
David is, yes, I believe it has. It's rooted in the idea of love. So Dave is trying to trump John. That's what's going on back there, those online, so you know what's going on. So let's read it this way. And there was a man whose name means grace. Okay? So you see, in some sense, isn't that wonderful? We have someone who's bringing forth this testimony, this witness of somebody. So in some ways, we see the grace of the Almighty being shown right here in a simplest way. So what an appropriate name or that the Father could choose to be the one who comes before Yeshua. It's this grace came before Yeshua, and believe it or not, grace always was before Yeshua. It always was there, okay? So, and if you don't believe me, think about it this way. And I think I use this one all the time. You have Mount Sinai, obviously, and that's kind of really the theme this week. But you had a loving Father who brought his people out, all right, brought them out, and then he just says, be free, do whatever you want. No, he showed grace. Let me show you what is going to be good for your life, what is good for you as an individual, as a community. Is that not graceful? Is that not a grace being bestowed? So you see it time and time again in the Old Testament. Paul.
So you're saying grace comes before salvation?
It seems to be. It's just one of those things you have to look at. And I think the important thing, I know I'm always saying you got to see, you got to go back to it's the lack of words here, I guess. I don't know how else, the best way that I think I can convey to most people is you got to go back to your Old Testament. You have to understand it, okay? That's the only way you're going to understand the New Testament, okay? And I know there's a lot of strange ideas attached to those words, but I'm just using those words because most people understand that, what I'm talking about. So this meaning of John's name is wonderful. It's great. He's ultimately this grace. John is testifying to the light of Elohim himself. And this, his Torah, his word, because we just got done looking at, he's testifying to what? The word of Elohim. He's saying this grace is coming. So, and obviously, again, this is already the foundations and the ideas have already been established. And we see clearly John is using that method. And I think it's a very, very important method to realize. So you had this John, he's witness and bearing witness to the light, and we already know we define the light, and we see how many times in Scripture light is used, and it's used for the commandments. So John is bearing witness to the commandments, the word of Elohim, the Torah, the instructions of Elohim. So is there a new religion brewing here in the beginning parts of John? Not if we go by the foundational things that are already there. There is not a new religion here. It's just a reminder of what already was. Okay? And to top it off, it's a restoring or a restoration of something that already has been established and has been there. It's just a refreshing that's going on. For instance, I'll read you Hosea 14:1. O Israel, return to Yahweh your Elohim. Return to your God, for you have stumbled by your crookedness. This is Hosea, okay? You have stumbled by your crookedness. And he says this, take devarim, take words with you and return to Yahweh. Say to him, take away my crookedness and accept what is good, and we render the bowls of our lips. But that first place, Hosea is saying, take what? Take the commandments, take the teachings, take the word of Elohim with you and return to me. That means that word of Elohim is out there. John is proclaiming the same thing, that the word of Elohim has come upon you. We'll see that. Sister.
One of the differences that I see between the Old Testament and the New Testament is very simple, in that we get to see the Torah walked out in flesh. And that yes. example before us, and of course, we don't get to see him physically like they did. We get to read about it.
Yes.
But so it's still words to us. But that's it. Is the example and the instructions is walked out in front of us.
That's awesome. And thank you, sister, because what she just said, we're going to see that later on. Hopefully, we'll get to that part, and we'll see that actually being witnessed, or we'll see that recorded here real soon in John. Yes, Joe.
Without reading the scriptures here, that in the beginning was the Word. Mm-hmm. It's going back to almost that Yeshua was given his credentials of who he is, what he's done. He created the world. Everything that was created was through him. And one thing has been really playing on my heart and mind. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. And then I was remembering when he was crying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And can you imagine to look at his people wanting so much to be recognized by them, and yes. having him rejected?
No, that's wonderful, Joe. And we'll address that last part that you talk about. We're going to address that, and we're going to look at that. But that first comment that you had there is wonderful, because I would present this way that I have in last week even. What is it? Matthew and Luke, they have a genealogy. So how you're talking about the pedigree, so to speak, of who Yeshua is, John is just taking it right back to the beginning of where that genealogy begins with Yeshua. So from the beginning, and it is the same here in John, and now for us. Okay, all that ever really was required, think about it. All that ever was required for us is to Shema his voice, hear and obey his voice. That's what it was in the garden, and it hasn't changed. So in some sense, what we see happening, or we're going to see happening here in John, it's a refreshing of what already has been spoken of. So, and that's, again, Shema and listen, hear and do, obey is another one, obey his word, his commandments. That's the word of Elohim. If we understand that, okay, if we can really grasp that, then John is going to start making a lot more sense, and it might hopefully be a lot clearer sense, you know? So what that means is the New Testament of the covenant isn't new. Let me say that again. The new covenant that seems to be here is not new, okay? It's already what has been established before, and it's just going to be renewed again with the same qualifications that have always been. Yes.
So talking about the new covenant and the old covenant, there's this scripture in Hebrews 8 verse. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of the Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So to me, and this is just my thought, it seems like the only difference between the old covenant and the new covenant is that before, the people did not want to obey him. Now with a new covenant, He's made it so that we want to obey him.
Yeah, I can see that somewhat. Yeah, I do see that in a little bit. And that's a deeper subject there as well. Because we do have this idea of written on the heart. And when I did go through and looked at it, that was always the intention that was to be from the very beginning. Oh, that my people would do this. You know, so, and we see some, we do see a climax here in Yeshua in some sense, that for that ultimately happened. And what that means is there was many, many people before Messiah that their heart was written with Torah within them, and that's the way they wanted to live, you know? So it's just a bigger picture here. Maybe we'll see with Messiah. Yes, Joe, and then we'll continue on here.
Torah study on and I asked Jerry about the same thing about the two different covenants. Okay, I believe that there was only one covenant. That's when God gave the covenant to Israel. And this, what they call the new covenant, is what the Protestants, the Gentiles, are proclaiming that grace is the new covenant. Is the new covenant, which mm-hmm. is not. The old covenant was the original covenant, and maybe the words, the idea was still there, but the words and the term was just a little bit different. But there was no new; it was only the old.
No, I agree. So the best way I would say to present that is his covenant has always been and has not changed. So anything that we see in the New Testament writings is only a refreshing, being restored, a renewing of what was.
Yeah, I looked at, I have a English Torah. And it says in 9, there was a true light, even the light, which lights every man coming into the world. Okay, I skipped number 8 here. He was not the light, but he came that light, a witness to the light. In other words, he's refreshing our memory.
I think you can clearly see that. John is telling you about something that already was, you know, and what his role in all this plays. Thank you. And so Jesus, your Yeshua, he needs to be understood in that context of what was before. The Messiah in the context of the Torah and the instructions and the teachings of the Father. And again, that's the whole idea, like kind produces like kind. So we can't take Yeshua out of, or the Messiah out of that narrative that's there. Jill.
I'm not sure everybody understands that John's not talking about himself here.
Correct. Yeah, John, he's saying, I'm not the light, but I'm just telling you about the light.
No, that's Yochanan the Immerser. That's Yeshua's cousin.
Yes.
But not the John who's writing this. This is the John, the son of thunder.
It very well could be. We can talk about that, but no, I've read a little bit on that. For this study, I'm just looking at, let's look at it if this was John, the Immerser. Okay? But no, I don't want to go down that path here, but we can talk about certain things like that, which I'm not disregarding. I think it's still something to entertain, though. Okay? But thank you, sister. Thank you. So obviously, we can't take Messiah out of the context of the Old Testament and the word of Elohim, okay? So if that's what we're looking at. So some of the, and when I am saying that, some of the theologies that we have that do exist do just that. They take Messiah out of the Old Testament, so to speak, okay? And you just can't do that, okay? Because you're not, because ultimately what you're doing, if you do that, like I hopefully I'm showing you, if the word is Elohim, the word is Elohim, and it was with him or whatever, then we can't have the word of Elohim now here breaking the word of Elohim. Okay? All right, we got problems then, and that's what I'm talking about. So obviously John is clearly establishing his message on the Hebrew mindset, okay? The His word is the foundation, and you cannot take the Torah and the instructions out of that again. So that comes to the idea of belief, trust, and faith. They're all action things, right? So it's not so much, and I mean this, a lot of it, we take belief and faith, and it's more of how we think. That seems to be the big thing. Now, and I'm not saying that's not important, but in the Hebrew, those words had to have a belief, to have faith, to have trust. It is up here, but it's also what you do. And you can't take the, you know, they're one and the same. So now I did see someone highlighted this. I think it might have been you, Dad. The light is for all men that come into the world, okay? So nobody can get out of that one. It's for all men. Okay, all humanity. It's quite clear there. Now this will, I'll get Mark, and then Polly, you had something you mentioned last week, and I will get to that, and I'll show you one of your questions, and maybe it'll come back to you what you had said.
So I'm reminded, you know, we were talking about this new covenant, old covenant, and Scripture tells us that there was a renewal of the covenant once before. So Joshua brings all the people across the Jordan, brings them into the land. They come to Shechem. And the interesting thing, people always say, well, then why, you know, what is it about the Torah? What is it about all the things that you guys are doing? Why? Well, it's really interesting that Joshua announces to them or tells them again, restates the blessings and the curses associated with this renewing of the covenant, meaning this is why you are going to be faithful to God, because there are blessings associated with it and there are curses associated if you don't. But he says here in Joshua 24, verse 24, and the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. Just a couple verses before, this is the famous verse that Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. So they say, on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, but we know it wasn't a new covenant because it states in here exactly, he's writing all the things of the Torah on the rock. And it says, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them the decrees and the Torah. So it's a renewing, a reaffirming the commandments and the Torah, because they're coming back into the land and they've got to know what they're being called to do. So this is what Jeremiah 31 is talking about, is this reaffirming that's going to take place.
Yes. No, I think that's a, thank you, Mark. And I think that's a great way. And if we take what Mark's saying and what I'm saying too, especially in maybe in this day and age with grace, because that's where the grace comes from. Grace was, okay, this is a blessing and this is a curse. If you want to walk in grace, you want to walk in his, you know, he already gave it to you. He told you what it was to do this or to that. If you don't obey him, he's not going to bring you. How can he bring you into grace? If you're not willing to walk after his commandments, that is grace. Okay? So, and I think that kind of goes back to what you're saying, Joe, this whole idea of grace. Well, it's always been there. So Polly made a comment last week, I believe, and I think it will come back to me. But this is the verse that I wanted to read here. I am Yahuwah, and there is none else. There is no Elohim, no other gods, no other mighty ones, no other besides me. I gird you, though you have not known me, we'll look at that pretty soon, so that they know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none but me. I am Yahuwah, and there is none else. Can he make it any more clear? There is only him. Okay? I stand really firmly on that. So then it goes on to say this, forming light and creating darkness, making a peace or shalom, wholeness, and creating evil. I, Yahuwah, do all these. Okay, so what is being proclaimed here? Okay, I got to tell you, there's a lot of people out there, maybe in the secular realm, they'll pick up the Bible, and You know, and they'll come to this, well, look at your God. He makes evil. He creates evil. Well, you know what? In some ways, he does. And you know why he does? Because he's the one who says what is right and what is wrong. And by default, he's telling you what is evil. Okay? He sets the standard because he is the creator. All right? So you need to understand it in that context. And that's the context. And you can see I have the orange highlighted. It's a type of Hebrew poetry. We're forming light, making peace. They go together. So he forms light. He forms the commandments. He forms the words, what's right and wrong. And guess what? By that, he's making shalom, wholeness for you. Okay? But since he's done that, he also brings forth that we see he created the darkness and the light in the beginning. He also allows you to choose. So if you choose not, then you see by default what happens. He sets the standards, and you're either in his light or you're not in his light. There's no, middle, there's no sunset. Either you're in the day or you're in the night, so to speak, okay? Sister?
You explained that very well. That was my question. How does God create evil?
Exactly.
So, but it's not evil as the devil. It's just that he's given us to choose. We can't choose either. Is
yes.
that what you say?
And that's what happens because people, I would even say believers, they'll come to that. If we don't get a good foundation of these principles and these ideas that are here in the text, we are going to come with wrong conclusions. You know, because that would be one. People say, well, he creates evil. How can he be a good God if he created evil? Well, we're coming from a mindset of that's foreign to Scripture. So our wisdom and our ideas and our philosophies are crooked and don't apply in the same way. So we must go back and try to understand it from that point of view. And all of a sudden, it makes such great sense. And it makes great logical sense, too. Okay? Yes, Joe.
The word light has quite a bit an interesting thing. In verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. He was the truth. He was the one that would connect humanity to God the Father. And that light, speaking of Yeshua, shines in the darkness. He's the light that takes us out of darkness into the light, where we can see where we're going. And the darkness didn't then overtake it. It tried to, but it didn't work. That's when Satan had him up on the pedestal and saying this, that, and the other. And Yeshua said, man shall not live except by the word of God. And then it says here in verse 7, this man, talking about John the Baptist, came for a witness that he might testify concerning the light, the person, that all might believe through his hand. He was not the light, speaking of himself, John the Baptist speaking of himself,